This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ورسلا قد قصصناهم عليك من قبل ورسلا لم نقصصهم عليك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who raised the heavens and created the creation. He spread forth the earth and beautified it with greenery and vegetation. He placed the sun and the moon in orbital harmony and rotation, thus blessing us with day and night in perfect alternation. He gifted us the faculties of hearing, seeing, and sensation, and He bestowed upon us the aql, giving us intellect and perception. He united us from different tribes and races to make us an ummah, one nation. And He sent to us a prophet to be a paradigm of virtue and emulation. He revealed to us the Qur'an, guaranteeing its preservation. And He blessed us with the kalima as our solid foundation. He gave us the sharia as our source of legislation. For indeed He is the King of Kings on the day of resurrection. And He shall raise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the praiseworthy station. All praise is due to Him, for all that is in the heavens and earth bows to Him in prostration. As to what follows, I welcome you to our newest series, which shall insha'Allah ta'ala be a very, very long series bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, if Allah Azza wa Jal gives us life and health and safety and security, which is what we ask of Him. And this will be a series about the concept of prophets and messengers and the stories of the prophets and messengers that we are familiar with in the Quran and in the Sunnah, and the messages and the morals and the lessons that we can extract from that entire series of stories. And we will begin with a series of introductory lectures, and then inshallah ta'ala we'll then move on prophet to prophet and messenger to messenger. So our first few episodes will be introductory in nature. And today inshallah ta'ala I wanted to begin by talking about the concept of prophecy and the need for prophets and messengers. We are all aware that believing in prophets and messengers is a fundamental pillar of iman. You cannot be a Muslim without believing in the prophets. And this is something that is mentioned in too many verses to list. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّي وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. These are the arkan of iman. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the angels. We believe in the books. We believe in the prophets. And of course, the hadith of Jibreel mentions the six famous pillars of iman. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, and that true piety is the one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the last day and in the Nabiyeen, those who believe in the prophets of Allah جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ. So belief in the prophets is indeed a fundamental pillar of our iman. So today we're going to begin by talking about the need for prophets and messengers. Why do we believe and why do we need the notion of prophets and messengers? And we began by realizing as well that the concept of prophecy is not universal across all of the faith traditions. In fact, for many of us as Muslims, we consider prophets as being a part of any religion. But in reality, the concept of prophets is only found in the Abrahamic religions and in the pre-Abrahamic religions like Zoroastrianism. It is only in these religions that there's a notion of a human being who communicates with the divine, who communicates with the creator, and that human being teaches us what we need to know about the creator. We need to understand that far Eastern religions or the Dharmic religions, they don't have this notion of prophets. And that is why the pagans of Arabia as well, they were disconnected from the reality of prophets. They didn't know what prophets were. And so when our Prophet ﷺ came to them, they were wondering, what is this called a prophet? What is a Nabi? What is a Rasul? And we have a number of incidents where somebody even asked the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا نَبِي? And what is a prophet? As we're going to come to, inshallah ta'ala. So we really need to understand a very interesting point, and that is that belief in the prophets is not universal amongst all faith traditions. And interestingly enough, the Dharmic religions, Hinduism, and its offshoots of Buddhism and Jainism, they don't have this notion of people being chosen by Allah. The same goes for the Far Eastern religion, Shintoism and Confucianism. It is something that is unique to the Abrahamic faith traditions. And therefore, we need to begin by explaining why the need for prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in the best of all fashions and forms, and He gave us faculties that made us better than all other creations that we are aware of. And of those faculties, He gave us the faculty of reasoning and of aql and of intellect. And that faculty is indeed of Allah's greatest blessings upon us. But with that blessing also comes a test and a responsibility. The blessing can potentially become a curse. The blessing can potentially become a cause of rejection. And therefore, this blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us with, that of intellect, it raised us above the other creation, but it also gives us a false sense of arrogance and knowledge. Our intellects give us this sense of superpowers almost. We feel that we know so much, and when we compare to the other creatures around us, when we compare ourselves to the animals and the beasts, when we compare ourselves to inanimate objects, there is no question that that sense comes into us that we know so much. And yet, our knowledge can only take us so far. Our intellect can only take us so far. Our intellect is not infallible. Actually, our intellects have a limited scope in which they operate in which they can excel in. To try to use our intellect outside of that scope is going to mean disaster for us. As well, our intellect, even within the scope of its usage, is not absolutely infallible. On the contrary, our intellect is fallible even within the scope that it has been created for. And therefore, there must be a source of knowledge that transcends the human mind. There must be a source of knowledge that is beyond the scope of human intellect and transcending the biases of our own minds, of our own bodies, of our own cultures, of our own analyses. And there must be a source of knowledge that is infallible and that is protected. Human knowledge is both biased and fallible. Human knowledge is tainted. Human knowledge is finite. And human knowledge has the potential to err. And therefore, there must be a knowledge that complements and perfects the knowledge that takes the human mind where it ends and then causes it to go forward and takes it to places where it could not go without that divine knowledge. And this is where divine revelation and the prophets come in. This is where the prophets are needed and necessary. All we need to do is to examine the history of ideas. Examine the history of ethics, of laws, of politics, of human governance, of philosophy, and see how diverse and how varied mankind has been since the beginning of time. Most of us, because I'm speaking in the English language, we are somewhat familiar with the trajectory of Western thought, beginning with the ancient Greeks, and of course, going through the Greco-Roman civilization, then the Judeo-Christian civilization, and then we are here in our, you know, post-Reformation and post-Renaissance European, if you like, nation-state world. And that trajectory is well studied by any observer and any person who has gone through a liberal arts tradition in our colleges. And of course, the primary philosophy, or the primary, if you like, paradigm of that trajectory is the notion that the intellect in and of itself is capable of rational inquiry and is capable of deriving ultimate truths. That is the fundamental premise of the entire thrust of Western philosophy, at least up until the advent of Kant and postmodernism. That is when things began to change. And of course, in our times, our philosophers of the Western tradition have humbled themselves just a little bit, but nonetheless, that concept, that kernel of arrogance of the human intellect remains embedded in the entire Western psyche and the trajectory of Western philosophy. The notion that we are rational creatures and that through philosophical inquiry and deductive reasoning and scholarly discourse, the truths of our existence and the realities of our beings and the correct interpretations of our ethics and laws, we can arrive at them simply by this type of conversation and this type of contemplation and this type of deductive reasoning. And of course, one can show the falsity of this pseudo-supremacy. One can show that this trajectory is inherently flawed by many methods and ways. And of them is to show the fallibility of the human mind, the ease of corruption, and the inherent biases that are present in any one person's mind. And of them also is to demonstrate that the conclusions of the very people who claim to follow the intellect, the conclusions of the very people who claim to prioritize human reason, these conclusions themselves are diverse and they are mutually exclusive and they are contradictory. If the human intellect were so perfect as to arrive at all ultimate truths, if the human mind alone were capable of such perfections of reason, then one would assume that all rational inquirers and all philosophers would arrive at the same ultimate truths. But what is the reality? The reality is the exact opposite of this. The spectrum of Western philosophy is the best indication that the human mind in and of itself is not infallible, and it is not capable at arriving at ultimate truths. The variety of thoughts and the whole spectrum of conclusions on all aspects of philosophy is enough of an indication of the fallibility of the human mind. And in fact, even within Western philosophy, you have competing madhabs, competing notions of philosophy. You have idealism, you have realism, you have postmodernism, you have existentialism, you have pragmatism, and within all of these, you have subcategories and competing branches, so much so that the reality is that people within these different schools, they cannot even have a cohesive conversation cross schools because the paradigms are so radically different and the epistemologies and the assumptions are so different that in reality there's little fruitful conversation about the realities of discussion between these various schools. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us prophets and messengers to transcend the fallibilities of the human mind and to make sure that we have a source of knowledge that is pure, that is unadulterated, that is literally divine. We have communication that transcends one culture and one time and one place and one mind, and it is direct from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. So we differentiate between fallible human knowledge and infallible divine communication. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran in multiple verses. For example, in Surah Ghafir, verse 82, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references this continual clash between the knowledge of men and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghafir 82, أَوَ أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't they travel throughout the lands? فَيَنْضُرُوا and examine what was the end result of those who were destroyed before them. Notice Allah is telling us, look to history. Look at all that has happened before you. Look at how many civilizations have been destroyed. And Allah says, كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Those ancient civilizations were more powerful than you, O people of the Quraysh. Look at the ancient Incas, and we have no clue what happened to them. Look at the pharaohs and the structures that they left, right? Look across the globe, and you will find mighty superpowers and empires. And Allah says, كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْكُمْ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرَ أَمْوَالًا وَأَوْلَادًا. And some verses Allah says they had more wealth, they had more money. And Allah says, they left behind monuments that are greater than yours throughout the land. But Allah says, فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ, of what use was all that they had? Because why? When the messengers came to them, Allah says, listen to this, فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, they were deceived and became prideful in the knowledge that they had. فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ, and ultimately they were overwhelmed by the very things they used to make fun of, meaning the message of the prophets overwhelmed them. Notice here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, and Allah says when our rusul came to them with bayyinat, when our messengers came with clear and explicit guidance, the bayyina is indisputable proof, proof that cannot be rejected, proof that is established, and Allah calls the knowledge of the prophets bayyinat. Allah calls the knowledge that it comes down from the prophets to be certain, and Allah says when they contrasted their knowledge with the bayyinat of the prophets, they rejected it. Why? Because فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, they were deluded by their own knowledge, not the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge they had arrived at. This clearly shows us that human knowledge is susceptible. Human knowledge is fallible. Human knowledge has the potential to be mistaken. And human knowledge is extremely deceiving. You become deceived by the knowledge that your own civilization produces. And you think that your civilization has reached the end all and be all. And when the prophets come and they present the truths from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is so common that each civilization thinks, our knowledge is bigger, our knowledge is better. فَرِحُوا بِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, and the net result will be what? That وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. In the end, the punishment of Allah will come, and when they attempt to believe, it will be too late at that point in time. And the reality as well is that, of course, this is the thrust of Western philosophies. In some of the Eastern philosophies, especially the Far Eastern, it isn't as much the rational intellect as it is about tradition, as it is about respect of one's culture, respect of one's land, respect of one's heritage, and preserving the ways of one's ancestors. And perhaps this is most boldly demonstrated in Shintoism, the Far Eastern religion, in which the veneration of the elders is the core of what they believe in. But in fact, all of Eastern culture was of a similar mindset, and even pre-Islamic Arabia as well. And that is why when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, their main point of contention was what? Multiple times in the Quran, inna wajadna abaana ala umma, we found our forefathers following a custom. Wa inna ala atharihim muhtadun, and we shall seek guidance and be guided through their customs. Muqtadun, in other verses, we're going to be following what our forefathers followed. So this is yet another clash that takes place. The clash between one's heritage and one's forefathers and one's culture, and between the knowledge of the prophets. And once again, that clash is eternal. It is something that takes place in every single era when the prophetic knowledge comes, and when knowledge of the divine comes, and people's heritage and people's culture and people's ways and forefathers clash with that. Then once again, that notion comes. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges this as well, and responds to this in multiple ways. Of them, in Surah Zukhruf, verse 22. In Surah Zukhruf, verse 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, بَلْ قَالُوا إِنَّ وَجَدْنَا أَبَانَا عَلَى أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّ عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ, that they said that we found our forefathers following a particular way, and we're going to follow in their footsteps, right? And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran that وَكَذَلِكَ, similarly, we have never sent any warner to any society except that its elite would say, we found our forefathers following away and we are walking in their footsteps. We're going to go exactly where they went. And then Allah says, that قَالَ, He says, أَوَلَوْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِأَهْدَى مِمَّا وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَكُمْ, even if what I bring you is better in guidance, it is more appropriate, it is more correct than what you found your forefathers upon. Notice the simple logic that is used in the Quran, that just because your fathers were doing it doesn't make it right. What if I have come to you with a knowledge of a way and a methodology and a lifestyle that is better than that of your prophets? than that of your forefathers. And here we get to another point. If every single society is to use the same excuse, we found our forefathers doing something, then in reality all societies must be equally valid and correct. But using the excuse of forefathers is something that is extremely shallow. Who cares what one's forefathers did? It doesn't make it right. And that's why the Quran says, what if I bring you something that is more rightly guided than what your forefathers used to do, and yet still they rejected what has come from the prophets. So what we find here is that the Quran is mentioning some very, very explicit wisdoms about what prophets do, about the function of the prophets, about the role and clash between the rightly guided knowledge of the prophets and between pseudo-knowledge of those who think they have knowledge, and between the cultures and customs of previous societies. Allah Azza wa Jal created us knowing that our knowledge will only take us so far, and therefore He sent to us prophets that are meant to guide us. One of the primary functions of the prophets is to function as a guidance for mankind. And the guidance in aspects that mankind's intellect is not going to take them. Because see, here is another beautiful point of benefit. And that is that when it comes to this world, generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent prophets to teach us the minutiae of this world. That's something He has left to us and our intellect. This is the domain of our intellect. Go ahead and build your technology. Build your towers even higher. Go ahead, go to the moon. Go to Mars and come back. Go ahead and do that. That's where the intellect comes into play. And that's why none of the prophets came to teach the principles of engineering. None of the prophets came to teach partial differential equations. Go ahead, do whatever you want to do. All of the prophets came, without exception, to teach the knowledge that one's intellect cannot definitively arrive at. To teach the knowledge that is more important than the knowledge of engineering and the knowledge of medicine and the knowledge of this world. And that is the knowledge of why we are here, the knowledge of who created us, the knowledge of the purpose of our life and what is going to happen after our death. That knowledge is infinitely more important than all of the knowledge of this world. And that knowledge is not available to us via the means and mechanisms of our human intellect without any divine aid. Unaided human intellect cannot take us to the knowledge that is needed for why we are here and who created us and what is the purpose of existence and how should we live our lives and what is going to happen to us after death. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy and because He is the Hadi and the Noor and the Kareem, because Allah Azza wa Jal is the Rahman and the Rahim, He didn't just create us and let us be. No, it is a part and parcel of Allah's manifestation of who He is that He sent prophets to us. And the purpose of those prophets, as Allah says in Surah Shura verse 52, that وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And this is how we have revealed to you a ruh, a spirit from us. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ. That you did not used to know what is the book. وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Neither did you know what is the faith. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا. But we made this a light by which we guide whomever we wish of our servants. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And you, Ya Rasulullah, are the one who will guide them to the صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. What is the صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is the path of Allah, the one who is the creator and the one to whom belongs the heavens and the earth. Indeed, to Allah all matters will return for judgment. This verse, Surah Shura, verse 52, please open up the Quran and read it yourselves. It's a very powerful verse. It's a very significant verse. And it demonstrates the reality of prophethood and the knowledge of prophethood. Allah Azza wa Jal uses some of the most profound metaphors in this verse about what prophets do, about the role and function of prophets. We learn from this verse a number of things. First and foremost, Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And this is how we have inspired you, Ya Rasulullah. So this shows us that prophecy is a blessing from Allah. We have chosen you. We have picked you. And we have sent this book down to you. We're going to mention this point in a future lecture, but it is a fundamental point of our theology that prophethood is a gift bestowed from Allah to those whom He chooses. Allah chooses the prophets. Allahu yastafi min al-mala'ikati rusulan wa min an-nas. Allah chooses from the angels and from mankind special that He calls them the prophets. Allah chooses and Allah prefers. Yes, the entire creation is created by Allah. Then Allah chooses who to make prophets. This is in contrast to some of the more fringe movements of our faith tradition. This isn't mainstream Islam, but there were those, called them the falasifa, called them others. They basically said that the prophets, they rise up through their own efforts, through the purity of their own intellects, through their own research. They rise up until they become prophets. And of course, that is blasphemy because Allah Azza wa Jal chooses prophets and Allah Azza wa Jal confers prophethood on those whom He blesses and chooses. And this is what this verse says. Another point of benefit here. Notice what Allah calls revelation. He calls it ruh. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And of course, ruh means spirit. Ruh means that which makes you alive. And this shows us that without revelation, we are not fully alive. Now, bodily, we might be alive. We can physically eat and drink without revelation. But revelation, what it does, is that revelation and the message of the prophets, it gives us ultimate life. If we did not have the prophets, our life would be meaningless. Think about that. If we did not have prophets, we would not have spirit in the lives that we live. And that's why Allah calls the prophets and the message of the prophets and the revelation to the prophets, Allah calls it ruh. Because through the knowledge of the prophets, the knowledge of what the prophets come with, our life attains meaning. Quite literally, without the knowledge of the prophets, we are living a dead life, a worldly life, devoid of higher purpose. We are like a corpse. And only when we connect ourselves with the knowledge of the prophets and the knowledge of the revelation, that is when our life acquires meaning, acquires purpose, acquires nobility. And that is why Allah calls the knowledge of the prophets ruh. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. Another point that we learn from this verse, Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know, Ya Rasulullah, what was the book of Allah? You did not know it. Neither did you know theology, Iman. You didn't know the realities of faith. And this is another very key point. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course for us, he is the best of all human beings without any question. He is the greatest. He is the most intelligent. He is the purest. He is indeed the Sayyid or the leader of the children of Adam. And yet, before the revelation came down, how far could his mind take him? Before Allah chose him and revealed the Quran to him, before the beginning of Iqra, how much was he able to know? مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. You did not know, Ya Rasulullah, what was the kitab. You did not know what was iman. And this, from a person who is the most intelligent and the purest of the soul. From a person who would literally sit in a cave and contemplate and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The soul and the intellect can only take you so far. And by the way, it did take him pretty far. He never worshipped an idol, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived up to every single good value that the fitrah, the human nature tells us. He was an honest person. He didn't drink, he didn't gamble, he didn't harm anybody, he was kind to the orphan. All of these things are coming from the purity that Allah created in mankind. The Prophet maximized that purity. And his intellect also told him that I'm not going to worship these false gods. So his intellect and his purity guided him to be the Sadiq and the Amin, to be an amazing person who was beloved to all of mankind in Mecca at that time. But without the Quran and without the revelation from Allah, he did not know what's going to happen after death. He didn't know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't know the details of Iman. He didn't know the angels. He didn't know what is to be done. All of this will come with Allah's revelation. مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا Rather, we made this a nur. We made this a nur. This is yet another profound metaphor. Allah calls His revelation and communication with the prophets, He calls it nur. The same verse has also called it a spirit, a ruh. And the same verse calls it a nur. Therefore, the message of the prophets is a shining light upon the darkness of this world. All of this world is enveloped in darkness. The darkness of human greed, the darkness of human evil, the darkness of sadistic cruelty, the darkness of passions, the darkness of sensual pleasures. It's all dark. And then Allah's revelation comes. The prophets come. And what do? They illuminate the world. They tell you who you are. Through light, what happens when you have light? When you have light, you can situate yourself. You can see where you are. You can see who you are. You can look around you. You can see the destination and you can see how to get there. That's what light does. When you don't have light, you're literally immobilized. You have nothing to do. You're just sitting there, nothing to do. You can't see yourself. You can't see anything around you. You have no purpose. Even if you did, you wouldn't know how to get there. And so, where does that light come from? From the prophets. The prophets bring that light to an ever dark world. And that's why Allah says, وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورًا And then what is the purpose of the ruh and the nur? نَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ نَشَاءُ We will guide, the hidayah will come. It is the prophets and the knowledge of the prophets through which hidayah comes. To be rightly guided, you have to follow the prophets. There is no hidayah without the prophets of Allah. Without the prophets of Allah, you are without soul, and you are without light, and you are misguided. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى We found you not on guidance, and we were the ones who guided you. If this is the case of the best human being, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا Your intellect, and your psyche, and your soul, and your human fitrah, can only take you so far, and you will never be upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim without the nur from Allah. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ And you, Ya Rasulullah, are going to guide to the صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ You will guide the people because Allah has chosen you to be His prophet. It is the prophets who guide to the صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ And what is the صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ It is the path of Allah, the path that Allah has chosen, the path that leads to Allah. And all of this is coming from the prophets of Allah. So without the prophets, we don't have souls, that is a spiritual soul. Without the prophets, we don't have light. Without the prophets, we do not have guidance. The same sentiment of being alive and seeing, the same sentiment is echoed in Surah Al-An'am, verse 122. Surah Al-An'am, verse 122, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a metaphor, a parable. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ Can the one who was dead, can the one who was dead, and then we brought him back to life, and we gave him a light by which he would walk amongst mankind. Can that person be compared? كَمَا مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ Like the one who is in complete darkness from which they can never escape. And this is indeed how the evil of the disbelievers has been made appealing to them. Once again, Allah gives the motif of dead and alive. And Allah gives the motif of darkness and light. The one who does not have the knowledge of the prophets is spiritually dead, even if they're physically alive. The one who does not have a knowledge that the prophets come with is in spiritual darkness, even if they're in the light of the sun. Spiritually, they don't know what they're doing. And wallahi, this is so true. So true. Look around you. Look around you. Those who don't follow the prophets, What are they doing with their lives? What is the purpose of their life? What do they plan to do? What is their vision, their goal? What do they think is going to happen after that? They don't even think about it. And that's where the knowledge of the prophets comes in. Believing in the prophets, knowing what they came with, that is what gives our life meaning. It makes us aware of who we are in our surroundings. It enlightens us and it makes us upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And there are many, many such verses in the Quran. Another very beautiful verse, by the way, Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 17, look this up, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions rain that He sends down from the skies. He causes the valleys to flow with water, each one according to its capacity. And then the currents come from the rivers and the streams, and they carry the rising foam. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. The worthless residue, it is cast aside. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That which is a benefit to mankind, it goes into the soil and remains in the soil. Ibn Taymiyyah comments on this and he says, this is a metaphor of the knowledge that comes from Allah through the prophets. That is the rain that comes. And the valleys are like hearts. People's valleys are small or large. Some hearts can acquire a lot of knowledge. Some hearts do not acquire any knowledge. And then that knowledge is sifted. Useless knowledge goes, is of no value. That which is of benefit, the knowledge of the prophets, that goes into the heart and it seeps into the heart. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسَ فَيَمْكُثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Ibn Taymiyyah says, and that which benefits the people, which is the knowledge of the prophets, it remains in the heart. That is the ultimate beneficial knowledge, and that is why it is the knowledge of the prophets. The knowledge that the prophets came with is a knowledge that the human intellect in and of itself can never attain. It is the knowledge of the life of the hereafter. And that is why the prophets have come with the knowledge that cannot be attained via mere reflection. Ibn Taymiyyah also writes that the knowledge of the prophets, it teaches us three genres or three types of knowledge that we would not have access to were it not for the knowledge that Allah has given the prophets. The prophets have come with a knowledge that is simply beyond the realm of human knowledge. And he mentions three primary ones. Number one, he says, a knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a knowledge of His names, and a knowledge of His nature, and a knowledge of His attributes, and that includes a knowledge of qadar. Knowledge of qadar, Allah has to tell us the reality of qadar. And this also includes, in number one, the stories of those who believe in Allah and those who reject Allah. And so Allah shows how He loves the believers, and Allah shows the fate of those who reject His message. So the first is the knowledge of Allah and the nature of Allah and the believers of Allah and the rejectors of Allah. All of this He includes in one category. And included in this is the stories of the prophets of old that we are now beginning. The second knowledge that the prophets have come with, he said, is the detailed knowledge of the laws and ethics of how to live, the customs, the sharia of how to live, what is allowed, what is not allowed. This too, the prophets come with. And we are not capable of definitively arriving at those laws. And all you need to do, as I said, is look around you. Look at the globe, look at society. Every single country has its own set of laws. What is legal in one country is illegal in another. Here in America, we have 50 plus states. What is legal in one state might be illegal in another. What you can do in one state or city, if you drive 20 minutes and cross the border, you might go to jail for doing the exact same thing. Why? Because our laws are all different. Our ethics, our norms, they're all different. And so the prophets come with that knowledge. That's the second knowledge. And then he said, the third knowledge is the knowledge of the afterlife, the knowledge of what happens after death, the knowledge of heaven and hell, the knowledge of Jannah, of Barzakh, the knowledge of Qiyamah, all of this knowledge of rewards and punishments, our mind could never derive. How can anybody tell us what's going to happen after life? Who? How is our brain going to understand that? So these three aspects of knowledge, Ibn Taymiyyah says, this is the primary function of the prophets, to inform us of these three things. Number one, knowledge of Allah, and included in knowledge of Allah is the knowledge of the believers of Allah, and that's the previous prophets. Number two, knowledge of the laws and ethics and customs. And number three, knowledge of the afterlife and heaven and hell. And of course, this is explicitly mentioned in the Quran as well. In multiple verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is one of the reasons, once again, that the prophets are sent. The prophets have this knowledge that is beyond our knowledge. In Surah Al-A'raf, verse 157, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 157, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the knowledge of the prophet that Allah gave him is what? الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيِّ. Those who follow this prophet, the unlettered prophet, whose descriptions they find in their own books of the Torah and the Injil. يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. This prophet commands them to do what is good and forbids them to do what is evil. He allows for them that which is good and pure, and he forbids upon them that which is impure, and he relieves them from their burdens and chains that they were shackled in. They were burdened by ignorance. They were chained by their own desires. And so Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lift that burden. Will lift that burden of, what is the burden here? The burden of ignorance. The burden of not knowing what you are here for. The knowledge that the Prophet ﷺ comes with, what will it do? It will tell you how to live your life. It will tell you what is halal and haram. It will tell you what is good and bad. It will tell you ethics and laws and morality. And it will free you from your own shackles of your desires. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rhetorically asks us, what else did you expect when I created you? Did you think that you would not be told, your prophets would not come to you? Did you think that we would just create you and not leave you with a set of laws? In Surah Al-Qiyamah, Allah says, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدَى. Did man think that he would be left in chaos? Did you think that Allah would create all of this perfection and then not send you prophets? Not tell you how to live? What, how is that a part of perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And therefore, the prophets fill this void. The prophets tell us how to live our lives, and the prophets inform us of that what we need to know. We also mention of the knowledge of the prophets is that they tell us the stories of the previous prophets. And this is explicitly mentioned in the Quran as well. Our Prophet ﷺ tells us histories that we would otherwise never know. The Quran is full of stories that are now long gone. Historians have not recorded them, but Allah recorded them. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, that this is how we have inspired to you these stories of the ghaib. You were not there when they differed. You were not there when they bickered. You were not there when they decided to kill Yusuf. You were not there on the western side of Mount Sinai when Allah spoke to Musa. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ. You were not there. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, we have inspired to you these stories. So these stories we're going to be beginning in all of this series. It is a fundamental reason why Allah sends the prophets. Allah sends the prophets to tell the believers of those stories that they need to know. And that's what we'll be covering as a part of our own series. Another source or wisdom of why Allah sends prophets is to purify our souls. The concept of tazkiyah, the concept of purification. And this is another interesting point. One of the divine wisdoms of sending prophets is to purify our souls. This is mentioned in multiple verses in the Quran. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. He is the one that has sent amongst the unlettered nations, meaning the Arabs, a prophet from amongst them. What does that prophet do? يتلو عليهم آياته. He recites to them the book of Allah, and he teaches them the knowledge and wisdom, and ويزكيهم, and he purifies them. So, one of the functions of prophecy is to purify the soul. You know, I think this point, you really don't even need to contemplate. Open your eyes and look at the spiritual bankruptcy of the cultures we live in. Look at the decadent lifestyle. Look at the hedonism that is rampant across the globe. Look at the sensual pleasures that have become the gods that people worship. There is no purpose of life other than enjoyment for the bulk of so many of mankind. And this is the reality of those who have turned away from the knowledge of the prophets. Even those that attempt to follow the prophets and they're misguided in their attempts, like the people of the book, they are infinitely better than those who don't even care to follow the prophets. Those people who attempt to follow Jesus, even though they have misinterpreted Jesus' statements. Those people who attempt to follow the Mosaic law, even though it has been abrogated, we still find amongst them decency, and we find amongst them morality, and we find amongst them a higher purpose. Why? Because they have some linkage with the prophets of God. Subhanallah. They have some linkage and connection with the prophets of God. And those that have turned away from any connection with the prophets of God, what has happened to them? There is no tazkiyah in their lives. There's no spirituality. There's no reason or cause for existence. It's all a selfish, narcissistic, bacchanalian, hedonistic cause of existence. And that's what Allah is saying. The prophets will purify you. You will have a sense of inner peace when you follow the prophets. And this is done by multiple ways. Of the ways that it is done, Allah says in the Quran, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. Prophets were sent as مُبَشِّر and مُنذِر. This is another function of the prophets. Why does Allah send prophets? مُبَشِّر and مُنذِر. بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. And Bashir here means, you are giving glad tidings. You're cheering them up. That if you obey Allah, there's an eternal life of bliss that will wait for you. If you are pious, if you are righteous, then all of the pain and suffering of this world is worth living. If you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your lives have meaning, and your death is not a death, it is the beginning of eternal life. That is mubashir. And the opposite, if you turn away from Allah, if you reject Allah, if you live for your own self and not for the higher purpose, then mundhir, nadhir, warner, careful. Don't waste the opportunity given to you, or else there shall be punishment. And so, the prophets come as mubashir and mundhir, bashir and nadhir. And this once again necessitates, it implies that the prophets are teaching mankind about heaven and hell, afterlife, reward and punishment, about obedience to Allah, about how to attain Allah's pleasure and happiness. All of this is one of the main functions of the prophets of Allah, to give glad tidings and expect the rewards of Allah if we are righteous, and to warn against punishment if we commit sins. And this also indicates purification occurs. The tazkiyah and the bashir and the nadir are all linked together. If we purify ourselves, then we will be rewarded and we have something to look forward to. And if we don't, then the opposite is there. Yet another reason for sending the prophets is to act as ultimate role models for us as mankind. You see, we are so weak, brothers and sisters. We are so weak, we need role models. And when we don't have role models that are religious, we create role models that are not religious. All you need to do is look around you. It is human nature to create role models. And therefore, rather than leaving role models to our whims and desires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us the best of all role models. And these role models are meant for us to look up to, for us to emulate, for us to learn and benefit from. And that is why we are starting this entire series, because we will discuss each and every one of these role models that Allah has mentioned. And we will discuss their lives and their trials and their tribulations and what we can benefit from their stories. In a very powerful series of verses, and I encourage you to look them up, Surah Al-An'am, verses 83 to 91. Surah Al-An'am, verses 83 to 91. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a long list of prophets. And I'm going to go over it because this is what we're going to be doing in this series of ours. That Allah mentions the story of Ibrahim with his people. And then in verse 83, Allah says, وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَى قَوْمِهِ. This is the argument that we gave Ibrahim to his people. You know, the argument of the stars and the moons. We're going to come to there, to that story, inshallah ta'ala, when we get there. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We raise and elevate in rank whomever we please. Indeed, your Lord is all wise and all knowing. And we blessed Ibrahim with Ishaq and Ya'qub. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. كُلًّا هَدَيْنَا. All of them we guided. And before them we guided Nuh and his descendants as well. Dawood and Sulaiman and Ayyub and Yusuf and Musa and Harun. And this is how we reward the good doers. And also Zakariya and Yahya, John the Baptist, and Isa, Jesus, and Elias, Elias, all of whom were from the righteous. And we also guided Ismail, Ishmael, and Elyasa, Elisha, and Yunus, Jonah, and Lutan, Lot, وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. And all of them we favored over all of mankind. وَمِنْ آبَائِهِمْ. And from their fathers, وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ. And their descendants, وَإِخْوَانِهِمْ. And their brothers, وَجَتَبَيْنَاهُمْ. We chose them, وَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And we guided them to the straight path. Now notice, by the way, this series of verses is one of, not the, but one of the longest series of prophets' names in one page. Surah Al-An'am, verses 83 onwards, Allah mentions all of these prophets by name, and then there's one other passage that Allah mentions even more prophets, and we'll talk about that, inshallah ta'ala, in our next lesson. Now after all of these prophets, what does Allah say? ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ. This is the guidance of Allah, that He guides whomever He wills of His servants. يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Had they associated partners with Allah, even their good deeds would have gone to waste. Then Allah says, these are the people that we gave the book to, and we gave the wisdom to, and we gave the prophet to. فَإِنْ يَكْفُرْ بِهَا هَؤُلَاءِ. If these pagans disbelieve in this message, then we have already given it to those who will never disbelieve in it, meaning the Ummah of Islam, us. Allah is saying, if the Quraysh reject, don't worry, the Muslims already believe. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ. All of these prophets were the ones whom Allah guided. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهُ. This is the phrase I wanted to come to. After all of this long, I wanted to come to this phrase. فَبِهُدَاهُمْ إِقْتَدِهُ. And so, through their guidance, you as well attain guidance. Allah is commanding me and you to look at all of the prophets and to gain from their lives guidance, to take them as role models. فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهُ. Guidance is sought through all of the knowledge of the prophets. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after mentioning all of these prophets, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. And they did not show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the respect that Allah is deserving of when they said, Allah has not revealed anything to any human being. This verse, verse 91 of Surah Al-An'am, it shows us a very powerful point. To deny that Allah sends prophets is to deny the perfection of Allah. In this verse, Allah links His majesty and His power with the concept of prophets. And Allah says, those who negated that I'm sending prophets, they haven't given me the qadr that I deserve. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ إِذْ قَوْلُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَشَرٍ مِّن شَيْءٍ. To negate the prophets is to negate the perfection of Allah. That's how important belief in the prophets is. And we explain why this is the case. That Allah, being who He is, could never, ever create mankind and let them be. Allah Azza wa Jal could never just create this perfect world and then not send prophets to us. And this is the only way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to communicate with us. If Allah had wanted to, we could have had a different creation, but it is Allah's will, and we do not question the will of Allah. He created us with an intellect that takes us so far, and then the prophets come and they complement, and the prophets come and they go beyond that intellect, and the prophets come and they teach us what the intellect cannot tell us. And together with our intellect and our psyches and our fitras and the knowledge of the prophets, all of this is complementary. When we put it together, then and only then will we attain ultimate guidance and the hidayah of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So to conclude our first lesson, we have to still continue this topic. To conclude our first lesson, the necessity of sending prophets is actually an extension of the power of Allah and of the knowledge of Allah. If you understand who is Allah, and you understand the names and attributes of Allah, the necessary corollary to that is that Allah Azza wa Jal would never leave us without guidance. And so He chooses from amongst us a category of people called prophets and messengers. And He communicates to those prophets and messengers a knowledge that we would never arrive at if we didn't have them. And He then sends those prophets and messengers to all of us in order that we have access to that knowledge, and in order that we have that hidayah and that nur and that ruh that comes from Him. Without the prophets, there is no spiritual ruh. Without the prophets, there is no spiritual light. Without the prophets, there is no hidayah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His hidayah. And we will inshallah ta'ala continue these series of introductory lectures before we jump to our first prophet, and that is our father Adam alayhi salam. Until next week, Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يَا مَنْ أَجَبْتَ دُعَاءَ نُوحٍ فَانْتَصَرَ وَحَمَلْتَهُ فِي فُلْكِكَ الْمَشْحُونِ يَا مَنْ أَحَالَ النَّارَ حَوْلَ خَلِيلِهِ رَوْحًا وَرَيْحَانًا